If you need a Bible, and I can tell you right now, if you don't have a Bible or you don't have an app on your phone that will cause you to be able to read along, you're going to need a Bible this morning. So if you need one, we've got ushers that are walking up front. They will pass you one and make sure that you have one. We are going to be covering quite a journey this morning. But before we start, would you join me in prayer? Because I want to be at God's tempo. I want to be at His pace. I want to be able to slow my heart down and share what He wants me to share. Because He wants to speak to us all this morning. So let's pray that He blesses our ears. Lord God, when you healed the servant who had deaf ears, you spoke Ephphatha. Ears be open. And Lord, we desire for our ears to be open this morning, for you to whisper that in our ears this morning. Lord, we invite you to have a work in our lives and that you would cause your written word to become alive, that your spirit would bear witness, that your spirit, Lord, we give you free rein access to every single corner of our lives so that your word can go through us and reach out to any area of our life that needs to be spoken to by you. We want to hear from you this morning and we want to respond in obedience to you this morning. So would you please help us and would you send forth your word and cause it to accomplish your purposes, your will. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. God's people say, amen. As I mentioned, we are going to be taking a journey this morning. And I'm trusting that the Spirit of God is going to bring to life in our imagination and our hearts His written word. And I'm going to trust that He's going to reach down and speak to you all. The last opportunity that I had to share was in regards to our founding fathers. And that our founding fathers had one desire. When they received God's written word, their desire was, wow, we want to worship this God that we see and know here in this book. So they separated themselves and they came here to worship God. And then we read in John that the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. John 4:23. Worship is not a word. We don't just say it with our lips, I worship God, and walk away. That's not worship. It is something that God's Spirit does in us. For those who worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. But I believe this morning at the account that we're going to read is going to paint for us a totality of God's desire when He mentioned to us, worship me and worship me alone. So we're going to open up our Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. And I'm just going to forewarn you right now, those of you who are not strong readers, that's okay. All I ask is that you don't fall asleep, and I'll try not to lull you to sleep as I read. But we're going to be covering Genesis chapter 12 all the way through Genesis chapter 21. Someone wise once told me, whenever you want to take a look at something that God is doing, go to the first place in Scripture that it's ever mentioned and start from there. And I think as we read through Genesis chapter 12 through 22, when we get to that word worship, we will have a very good understanding of a heart, attitude, emotions, feelings, all of the above that would need to go into having a heart that worships God. So let's begin. Genesis chapter 12. Now, I'm just going to read to you. You don't need to turn there. And I'll go right into Genesis 12. But I'm going to read to you Genesis 11, 31 and 32 that says, "And Terah took Abram his son and Lot the son of Haran and his son's son and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and he went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and lived there. And the days of Terah were 205, and Terah died in Haran." Genesis 12, "And Jehovah said to Abram, go out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house into a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you and curse the one who curses you. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. And Abram departed even as Jehovah had spoken to him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and all the souls that had been gained in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And they came into the land of Canaan, and Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, unto the oak of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And Jehovah appeared to Abram and said, I will give you this land to your seed. And he built an altar there to Jehovah who appeared to him, and he moved from there to a mountain on the east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel toward the sea and Hai on the east. And he built an altar there to Jehovah and called upon the name of Jehovah. And Abram journeyed going on and pulled up stakes toward the south, and there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to stay there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it happened when he had come near to enter into Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, behold now, I know that you are a beautiful woman to look upon. And it will be when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. And they will kill me. But they will save you alive. I pray you, say that you are my sister, so that it may be well with me for your sake, and my soul shall live because of you. And it happened, when Abram had come into Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. The woman was taken into Pharaoh's house, and he treated Abraham well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and donkeys and male servants and maid servants and camels. And Jehovah plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? And so I was about to take her to me as wife. Now therefore, behold your wife, take her and go. And Pharaoh commanded men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot was with them into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, to the place where his tent had been from the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And Abram called on the name of Jehovah there. And Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might live together, for their substance was great, so that they could not live together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite lived in the land, and Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife between you and I, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are men, brothers. Is not the whole land before you? I pray you, separate yourself from me. If you go to the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the circuit of Jordan, that it was well watered before Jehovah destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of Jehovah. That's the Garden of Eden. Like the land of Egypt as you come to Zoar. And Lot chose all the circuit of Jordan for himself. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. And Abram lived in the land of Canaan, and Lot lived in the cities of the circuit and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before Jehovah, exceedingly so. And after Lot was separated from him, Jehovah said to Abram, "Lift up your eyes now and look from the place from where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which you see, I will give to you and to your seed, and I will make your seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can count the dust of the earth, then shall your seed also be counted. Rise up and walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it to you." And Abram moved his tent and came and lived in the oaks of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and he built an altar to Jehovah there. And it happened in the days of Aphrael, king of Shinar, Arioch, the king of Elskar, Chaldomar, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of the nations, that they made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Adam, and Shembar, king of Zeboim, and king of Bela, which in Zoar. And these joined together in the valley of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea. They served Chedorlaomer 12 years, and in the 13th year, they rebelled. And in the 14th year, Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him came and struck the giants in Ashtaroth-Karnaim, and Zuzim in Ham, and the Emim in Shava-Kirithaim, and the Horites in their Mount Seir, as far as the oak of Paran, which is by the wilderness. And they returned and came to En Mishpat, which is in Kadesh, and struck all the country of the Amalekites, and also the Amorites who lived in Hazaram Tamar. And the king of Sodom went out, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Adam, and the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bel, which is Zoar, and they joined battle with them in the valley of Siddim, and Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, in the title, the king of nations, and Aphrael, the king of Shinar, and Arioch, the king of Elsar, four kings with five. And the valley of Siddim was full of asphalt pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and the ones that remained fled to the mountains. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and ate all their food and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who lived in Sodom, and all his goods, and went away. And there came one who escaped, and he told Abram the Hebrew. He lives in the plains of Mamre, in the Amorite, the brother of Eshcol, the brother of Aner. And these had a covenant with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he led forth his trained servants, born of his own house, 318, and pursued them to Dan. And he divided himself against them by night, he and his servants, and he struck them and pursued them to Hobah, which is on the left of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods and the women also and the people. That's what I call a good night raid. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings with him and the valley of Shavar, which is the king's valley. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the people and take the goods for yourself." And Abram said to Sodom, "I have lifted my hand to Jehovah, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take from all that is yours, not from a thread even to a shoestring, lest you say, 'I have made Abram rich.' Nothing for me. Only that which the young men have eaten and the portion of the men who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion." After these things, the word of Jehovah came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me since I am going childless? And the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." And Abram said, "Behold, you give me no seed. And behold, one born in my house is my heir." And behold, the word of Jehovah came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but he that come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir." And he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them." And he said to him, "So shall your seed be." And he believed Jehovah, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. And he said to him, "I am Jehovah that brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to inherit it." And he said, "Lord God, by what shall I know that I shall inherit it?" And he said to him, "Take me a heifer of 3 years old, a she-goat of 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove and a young pigeon." And he took all of these to himself, divided them in the middle, and laid each piece against one another, but he did not divide the birds. And when the birds of prey came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. What an honorable guy. He wanted to keep the sacrifice that he had given to the Lord pure. And he's there fighting away the vultures and fighting them off. Man, he is going to be faithful to God. And what happens next? And it happened as the sun was setting and a deep sleep fell upon Abram. I just want to point out right here, the deep sleep that is talked about right here is the exact same deep sleep that fell upon Adam before he received Eve. And a deep sleep fell on Adam, and from his rib, that's the same. God caused this sleep, a rest to fall on Abram. Verse 12, and it happened as the sun was setting, and a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. Now, this is why. Because during the hours that he was sleeping, this is what he received. And he said to Abram, you must surely know that your seed shall be a stranger in a land not theirs, and shall serve them. And they shall afflict them 400 years. And also I will judge that nation whom they shall serve. And afterward they shall come out with great substance. And you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come here again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet fulfilled. And it happened, the sun went down, and it was dark, and behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp passed between those pieces. How cool. God made the oven, and God took the sacrifice, and Abram didn't have to do a thing. How awesome is that? In the same day, Jehovah made a covenant with Abram, saying, I have given this land to your seed from the river of Egypt to the river Euphrates. The Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kedemites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the giants and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Gershurites and the Jebusites. Chapter 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, did not bear. And she had a female slave, an Egyptian, and her name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, behold now, Jehovah has kept me from bearing. I pray you, go into my slave woman. It may be that I may be built by her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her slave woman, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. After Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said to Abram, my wrong be upon you. I have given my slave woman into your bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eye. Jehovah judge between me and you. But Abram said to Sarai, behold, your slave woman is in your hand. Do to her as it pleases you. And Sarai dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her face. And the angel of Jehovah found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's slave, where did you come from? Where will you go? And she said, I flee from my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of Jehovah said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your seed exceedingly so that it will not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of Jehovah said to her, behold, you are with child and shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because Jehovah has heard your affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. He shall live in the presence of all his brothers. And she called the name of Jehovah, who had spoken to her, you are a God of vision. For she said, even here have I looked after him that sees me. Therefore, the well was called the well of the living one seeing me. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bore, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. Chapter 17. And when Abram was 99 years old, Jehovah appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Neither shall your name any more be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, greatly so, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come out of you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you in the generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God to you and to your seed after you. And I will give you the land to you in which you are a stranger, and to your seed after you, and all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. And God said to Abram, and you shall keep my covenant, you and your seed after you in their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your seed after you. Those of you who are in the room that are of sensitive ears, this is just a forewarning. There might be some sensitive subject matter coming up ahead here. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. And it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. And a son of 8 days shall be circumcised among you, every male child in their generations. He that is born in the house or bought with silver of a stranger who is not of your seed, he that is born in your house and he that is bought with your silver must be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. And God said to Abram, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but her name shall be Sarah. And I will bless her and give you a son also of her. And Abram fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear? And Abram said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And God said, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son indeed. Man, how many times does God have to speak sometimes? And you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him. And I will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall father 12 chiefs. And I will make him a great nation, but I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. And Abraham took his son Ishmael, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his silver, every male among the men of Abram's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskins in the same day. He didn't put it off, did he? Even as God said to him. And, wow. And Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and his son Ishmael was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the same day, Abram and his son Ishmael were circumcised, and all the men of his house that were born in his house, bought with silver of the stranger, were circumcised with him. Genesis 18. And Jehovah appeared to him in the plains of Mamre and sat at the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, there three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed toward the ground. And he said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, do not pass away, I pray, from your servant. Let a little water, I pray, be brought, and wash your feet and rest under the tree, and I will bring you a bite of bread and will comfort your hearts. After that, you shall pass on." For this is why you have come to your servant. And they said, "Do so as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal kneaded and make cakes." And Abram ran out to the herd and brought a calf tender and good, and he gave it to a young man, and he hurried to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they ate. And they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said to them, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." And Sarah heard in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abram and Sarah were old, far gone in days, and it had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. In other words, all that should have been working, that makes a woman able to bear, was no longer working. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after my being old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And Jehovah said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I, who am old, truly bear a child?' Is anything too hard for Jehovah? At the time appointed, I will return again to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Then Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. And he said, "No, but you did laugh." And the men rose up from there and looked toward Sodom, and Abram was going with them to bring them on their way. And Jehovah said, "Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? And Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the persons of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his sons and his house after him, and they shall keep the way of Jehovah to do justice and judgment, that Jehovah may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." And Jehovah said, "Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come to me. And if not, I will know." And the men turned their faces away from there and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood still before Jehovah. Wow. Abraham just got done meeting with the Lord. I don't know exactly what form, but he was with two angels and they sat down and ate with him. And now the two angels have gone off, and now Abram's standing still with the Lord. The Lord's about ready to let him know, "Hey, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do." The secret of the Lord belongs to those who fear the Lord. And verse 23, "And Abram drew near and said, 'Will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Perhaps for the 50 righteous that are in it? Far be it from you to act in this manner, to kill the righteous with the wicked. And far be it from you that the righteous should be as the wicked. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?'" Wow, Abraham's pretty bold. And Jehovah said, If I find Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abram answered and said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak to Jehovah. Who am I but dust and ashes? Perhaps there will be 5 lacking from 50 righteous. Will you destroy all the city for the lack of 5? And he said, If I find 45 people, I will not destroy it. And Abraham spoke yet again to him and said, Perhaps there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for the 40's sake. And he said, Oh, let not Jehovah be angry. I will speak. Perhaps there shall be 30 found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30. And he said, Lo, now I have taken upon me to speak to Jehovah. Perhaps there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 20's sake. And he said, Oh, do not let Jehovah be angry, and I will speak only once more. Perhaps 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 10's sake. And Jehovah went his way as soon as he had left off talking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. We're going to skip chapter 19 because it has nothing to do with Abraham. So skip on over to chapter 20. And Abraham moved from there toward the south country and lived between Kadesh and Shur and stayed in Gerar. And Abram said of Sarah, his wife, She is my sister. And Abimelech, the king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, Behold, you are about to die for the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech did not come near her. And he said, Lord, will you also kill a righteous nation? Did he not say to me, She is my sister? And she even she herself said, He is my brother. In the sincerity of my heart and innocence of my hands, I have done this. And God said to him in a dream, Yes, I know that you did this in the sincerity of your heart. For I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not allow you to touch her. Now, therefore, restore his wife to the man. For he is a prophet, and he shall pray for you, and you shall live. And if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all that are yours. And Abimelech rose early in the morning and called to his servants and told these things in their ears, and the men were greatly afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, What have you done to us? In what have I offended you that you have brought on me and on all my kingdom a great sin? You have done deeds to me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said to Abraham, What did you see that you have done? What did you see that you have done this thing? And Abram said, Because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will kill me for my wife's sake. And yet truly she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it happened when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said to her, This is your kindness which you show to me. At every place where we shall come, say of me, He is my brother. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen, men servants, maid servants, and gave them to Abraham, and he restored him to Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, Behold, my land is before you. Live where it pleases you. And to Sarah he said, Behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to you a covering of this eyes, of the eyes, to all that are with you, and with all this you are reproved. And Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his slave woman, and they gave birth. For the Lord had closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Bear with me, we're almost there. Chapter 21. And Jehovah visited Sarah, and he said, And Jehovah said to Sarah, and as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, so that all who hear will laugh with me. And she said, who could have said to Abraham, will Sarah suckle children? For I have borne a son to him in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom he had borne to Abraham, mocking. And she said to Abraham, cast out this slave woman and her son. For the son of this slave woman shall not be heir with my son, with Isaac. And the thing was very evil in Abraham's sight, because of his son. And God said to him, let it not be grievous in your sight because of the boy and because of your slave woman. In all that Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice. For in Isaac your seed shall be called. And also I will make a nation of the son of the slave woman, because he is your seed. And Abram rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder. He gave her the boy and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba, and the waters was gone in the bottle, and she cast the boy under one of the shrubs, and she went and sat down across from him a good way off, about a bow shot, for she said, let me not see the death of the boy. And she sat across from him and lifted up her voice and cried, and God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of the heavens and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? Do not fear, for God has heard the voice of your boy where he is. Rise up, lift up the boy, and hold him up with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And when she went, she filled the bottle with water and gave drink to the boy, and God was with the boy, and he grew and lived in the wilderness and became an archer. And he lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him out of the land of Egypt. And it happened at that time Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham, saying, God is with you in all that you do. Now therefore swear to me here by God that you will not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son. Do to me according to the kindness that I have sworn to you and to the land in which you have lived. And Abraham said, I will swear. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of the well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, I do not know who has done this thing. Neither did you tell me, neither have I heard of it except today. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves, and Abimelech said to Abraham, what are these 7 ewe lambs which you have set by themselves? And he said, for you shall take these 7 ewe lambs from my hand, so that they may be a witness to me that I have dug this well. This is why he called the place Beersheba, because they swore both of them there. So they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of the army, rose up, and they returned to the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a tree in Beersheba and called there on the name of Jehovah, the everlasting God. And Abraham lived in the Philistines' land many days. I want to stop right there. We're going to cover the last 5 verses in 22, but before that, I would like to quickly recap what we just read. And keep in mind, the hour has come that God is seeking those who will worship him, the true worshipers, who will worship him in spirit and in truth. I just want to present, may I submit to you, that the work that needs to be done in our lives in order for us to come to a place where we are worshiping him is not an easy one. It hurts. There's a cost to it. And we'll see that. So let's recap real quick. Now, I'm going to go ahead and these points that I'm going to draw up covers all of what we read right now. In Genesis 11:31, he was a man from Ur of the Chaldeans. And in Genesis 12:1-5, I'm not going to read to you the references. I'm just going to read to you the recap. He separated himself to follow God. Wherever he traveled, he had God's protection. He was rich and had much possessions. He was given more. He was an altar-building man. He saw and lived during Earth's true First World War. 9 powers, 4 against 5. He was battle-forged alongside some special servants. Met by kings and withstood serious peer pressure and was blessed and made a public stand for righteousness. Word of the Lord came to him, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." Abram asked, "What will you give me?" Word of the Lord came to him, "I will give you an heir." And Abraham believed God. All in a day Abraham sacrificed, fell into a deep sleep. Horror and great darkness came upon him. He received an 800-plus year vision that was signatured by God with an oven and a passing torch. Then God made covenant with him of the land he was to receive. Abraham heeded Sarai's voice. A son was born from the bondwoman, but not according to promise. A choice that is affecting Earth's history to this day. Abram was 86 years old. God reaffirms his covenant with Abram. Abram's name is changed to Abraham, and establishing work continues that he would know what the hope of his calling is. God's covenant required a sign of action that hurt. That same day, circumcision of the flesh, Abraham was 99, Ishmael 13. The Lord appeared to Abraham with two angels, had a meal with them, and again assured them of a child. God's intended judgment was made known to him because a great and mighty nation was Abraham. He would be preparing all future generations. Abraham pleaded boldly, "Would righteous be destroyed with the wicked?" Judgment began. We skip chapter 19. After his meeting with the Lord, Abraham journeyed, and God's protection was not withheld. Abraham was introduced as a prophet, prayed, and healing came upon all the people, not his own. All that was spoken came to pass. The promised child Isaac arrived. Abraham was 100 years old. Ishmael scoffed at Isaac. The bondwoman and her son was cast out at the Lord's instruction. Abraham begins negotiations with surrounding nation, is bold to rebuke and wise in his actions, peace maintained. Would you not say that Abraham has gone through just about every high and every low that you could possibly imagine, with wealth, money, and everything behind him, and gone through every possible turmoil to the fact that he did not want to get rid of Ishmael? That was his son. He loved him. Yet at God's instruction, he was gone. The same day that God said, "Cut your foreskin," Abraham not only did that to all his household, both of his own, or both in his house and bought and brought in, but he did that to himself. He endured peer pressure. He saw things that most of us have never seen. Would you not say that at this point, Abraham can do what he wants, go any direction that he pleases, is wealthy, powerful, and an influential man? Is he not a man of God? Now, with that being said, let's read the first five verses of Genesis chapter 22. In all of Scripture, this is the first time. This is the first time the word worship is ever used with the same intention and purpose that he spoke of in John chapter 4. Now it came to pass after these things that God, wow, he had gone through all of what he had gone through, but now he's tested. Now it came to pass after all these things that God tested Abram and said to him, Abraham? And he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for a burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. We just got done reading that every time God instructed, gave Abram instructions, Abraham immediately followed through. That same day he did it. He did not hesitate. He did not falter. He did not waver. God gave him the instruction to offer up Isaac, and the next morning he left. Now, if you can, just try to imagine. Just put yourself in Abraham's shoes. From the time that he got up and rose, he is journeying 24 hours. He is walking, not for one day, not for 2 days, 3 days, in which he has time to contemplate what God had asked him to do. I wonder, did he fall asleep, exhausted? Maybe, how many of you have ever been exhausted because you can't stop your thinking? You know how many heads I see shaking and going? I wonder if Abraham was in that same spot and was just in such a turmoil. Oh, this is ridiculous. Like, I can't do this. Let's go back. Second day. Third day, and then he stopped. On the third day, he saw the mountain. He said to his servants, you stay there while we go and worship. I'm going to read to you the Hebrew definition that is charactered in the original language of the word worship here. If I would have read it to you before, it wouldn't have made much sense. But now seeing a saga, a novel of Abraham's life up to a point where he initiated worship, I think you might be able to have an understanding. Sink. Pit. A picture of teeth representing sharpness. A wall. Combine these means sharp walls. A pit dug into the ground for the purpose of trapping someone or something. To go down or sink down as going into the pit. Low, humble, a hole in the ground such as a grave. A bringing down low are a sinking feeling. Can you imagine maybe a little bit of the sinking feeling that Abraham began to feel, especially on the third day when he lifted up his eyes and he knew that was the place? I want to be a worshiper of God. I want to be a true worshiper of God. And I look out here, and I know there are individuals here too. That is their desire. Their desire is to be a true worshiper of God. But to be a worshiper of God is to be brought down to a very low place. It is to be broken. It is to be in a pit where there is no choice and it doesn't make sense. It's to be obedient. I want to say that let's open up our hearts and say, God, I do want to be a true worshiper of you. But you know me. You know me. You know the things that I hold on to. You know the times that I've disobeyed you. You know me. And I need you to do a work in my life to bring me to a place where when Jesus says, "But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him." So are we willing as a people? Are we willing as individuals to come out of hiding and say, "Okay, God, you see the area of my heart that needs to be cut away. You see the area of my heart that needs to be circumcised. I'm going to resist you. I'm going to fight. I'm going to cry. I'm going to throw temper tantrums. I'm going to walk away, but God, please don't let me go. Do what needs to be done in my life until I am brought low at your feet and I simply obey." Because I want to worship you. I want to be a true worshiper. So let's close off this morning's service. And let's come before our Abba Father together and let's just ask him. Let's ask him to do a work in our lives.